So in 2004, Jenny and I went to a little Methodist church in the middle of nowhere and found 30 people who were just so hungry for more of God. They were just prepared to do whatever it took. And 27 weeks later, we staggered out of that place and we were never the same. And there's only a few men that I personally know that I count a privilege, that I personally know that God has entrusted something with. I think it's a scary, awesome, incredible thing for the King of the universe to entrust a humankind with something. And that is a move of His Spirit to change lives. So I count it a privilege to know two men who have had that privilege. They've been entrusted with something. One is Ron Fernier from Augusta, Georgia. The other is a man who carries something. And tonight, I want you to welcome Dan Garden.
Okay, there's way too many people. Some of you got to leave. That's just too many people for me to stand before. My church, when I left my church in Indiana, I'm from Illinois in the United States, so I pastor a little church in Indiana right now, and there's about 22 of us. Praise the Lord, but that's about to change. I want to come tonight to ask you how desperate you are. How desperate are you? Are you ready to come and stay till 1 o'clock every night for 27 weeks? Are you ready to get up every morning and go to work just to break your neck to get back? Are you ready to see things that you never dreamed could ever happen? Are you ready to hear someone jump up and say, "Hallelujah, I can hear"? Are you ready to watch some crippled man in a wheelchair get up and walk? Are you ready to watch people whose arms have been frozen and couldn't move all of a sudden start becoming, we call her the windmill lady? Every time you look at her, she'd swing her arm around, around, around. Hit three or four people every time. We got more to pray for. You know, there's a price that gets paid. Whether you like it or not, there's a price. I got a cassette tape. You have those over here. You know, you guys are so far advanced than we are. We're old people. But, yeah, like our old houses are like 212 years old, and we don't have nothing old except the people. But I got this cassette tape. It was given to me, and this lady in my church said, "I think you ought to listen to this." Now, pastors, how many pastors are in here tonight? Oh, cool. I also wanted to ask, how many's here for the first time tonight? All right, very cool. That's an American thing. Do you do that here? Cool. And I also forgot to ask, could I have some grace? I'm trying to learn customs and mannerisms, and it's just hard for me to do. I don't even spoke properly, you know? So it's hard for me to do it. Sometimes people think that I perspire, but what I really do is I ooze Jesus. You know, and so don't be afraid of it. It's not killed anybody yet. Praise the Lord. But we, you never want to go off on a tangent because then you forget where you're at. But I'll get back to it, don't worry. I test first my water bottle. I wanted to show them a little something. Oh, did you bring it up here? Sneaky. My water level is right there. That's how long preaching I got. At home, my people give me a little glass. Praise the Lord. But that's okay. I fill it up twice. Praise the Lord. We come to, I promised this gentleman in my church that I would tell you this. He came over to help defend during the war. And when he talks about this country, he cries, he weeps. And he said, you tell them. He said, when I got on the ship to leave, I looked back at some standing there, and I told him, said, I love you. And he said, make sure you tell those folks wherever you go that, oh, Albert still loves you. So Albert loves you. He's praying for you tonight. And that's what all he talks about is you gotta love people. See, that's one of the things that caused our move of God to happen. Because we just started loving people. We didn't care what they acted like, and we didn't care what they sounded like. We didn't care because it wasn't our job to change them. Our job was to go fishing. So we went fishing, and we hooked them. We brought them in, and Jesus took care of them. He cleaned them. And he cleaned them, and he put them in a place where they could be safe. One of the things that I do want to ask you tonight about is what kind of a word do you have? You know, it was important that we had a good word. There's a scripture in the Bible that, that's obvious. There's several in the Bible. But this particular scripture is in Isaiah 55:11. How many have that memorized? Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. I read out of King James Version because I didn't know if you knew this, but King James Version is the version that Jesus preached from. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I don't know. I want you to get this really, really bad. I want you to get this way down inside of you. That is talking about you. In the Genesis of time, God created a man. And God's kind of funny. You ever notice that? He created a man, then he blew up his nose to give him life. It says he blew breath up his nostrils. You know, so God's got a lot of humor. That's why he saved me. And I'm glad he did. I won't come across as some highly educated individual, but I will come across as someone highly full of Jesus. And I brag about that, and I'm sorry. I won't apologize really for that, because I'm glad. I'm glad I'm full of Christ, because I didn't like being full of Dan. And I like being full of Jesus a whole lot more. So I want to share with you a little bit about this thing called a word and what happened with us. You see, God made that man. Then he made a woman. And by the way, this is my lovely wife. For those two or three that's here the first time, it's my lovely wife, Donna. Praise God. Monday we'll be married for 35 years. So praise God. I deserve it. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. You're too kind. You're way too kind. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. I like cake and ice cream. So, chocolate cake. Praise the Lord. So God created this man, and he took this rib, and he created this woman, and he spoke to them. He spoke a word. All through Genesis you read, and God said, and God said, and God said. And you also see in Genesis that there's this thing called the Spirit, how the Spirit hovered over all these different things, hovered over the deep, you know, but I think the Spirit hovers everywhere. I think the Spirit is hovering right here. And when God said, let there be, guess what? Pop! There goes in the Holy Spirit. And there was. So God's one day in time, he said, let there be Paul. And the Holy Spirit saw that that happened. He put a man and a woman together, and we have Brother Paul. We have Brother Jules, because God spoke a word. Now, my prayer is the Holy Spirit help you hear what I'm about to say. I have this friend of mine that's always saying, hear the word of the Lord. I hope you get to meet him sometime. That's him. And he spoke this word here. You are a spoken word. Think about this. You are a spoken word. God spoke your name. Well, what did he do? I say here in the Bible where he spoke my name. He knew you before you were ever born. I didn't believe that you ran around glory or wherever we're running around at before we come here, that God didn't know what your name was. He knew you. He spoke a word, and that word was whatever. This second, I'm going to look up and say, would you ever thought it, Mom? Would you ever thought this, Mom? My mom's in heaven looking over the portals of window tonight. Heaven tonight. And she's tickled pink. My mom come home one time and she was pregnant with me and she was crying. She was all upset and she went to my dad and my dad said, "What's the matter?" She had this huge pill. Now, I really wasn't there yet. I'm just telling you what she told me. She had this huge pill. And she said, "There's something wrong." She said, if I carry this child full term, the doctor says one of us is going to die. But there's even a greater chance that both of us will die. And my dad was one of those guys that said he loved me once, and that was good enough. Never would say it again, you know. I told you once, and if things change, I'll let you know. All those paddlings, I thought things had changed. And my mom showed him that pill, and she was just all broken up. And he took that pill, and back then we used coal to heat the house. And he walked over and opened that old coal stove, and he threw that pill in there. And my mom got out and prayed, and she said, "God, just let me carry this baby, and if one of us got to go, let it be me. And let me see this child just one time. And God, I want a brown-eyed, brown-haired baby boy." Well, it used to be brown. And sure enough, my mama held me. I was a brown-eyed, brown-haired baby boy. And sure enough, my mama passed away at the age of 67. She didn't die at birth. I didn't die at birth. And I believe the devil wanted me dead so I couldn't come here tonight and tell you that you are a word spoken from the mouth of God. You have a destiny. You have something to accomplish, and you're going to accomplish it if you'll just follow what God tells you to do. You are a word spoken from the mouth of God. Think about that. You were spoken out of God's mouth. You were spoken into existence. A man and a woman said, "Oh, I want to have a child," and God heard that, and he spoke to this little thing into existence into you, and it grew and it was born. And so you are here tonight because you are a spoken word, and you have a job to do. You have a destiny. My destiny, I believe, was to go into a little Methodist church that before I got there, there had been I don't know how many people every Tuesday night praying, "Oh Lord, do something here." There was only eight of them doing it. "Oh, Lord, do something here." And some of the original ones had passed away. And others had just kind of took it up. And you know how it is? They got to a place where all they did was, "Well, it's time. Oh, it's Tuesday. Oh, yeah, it's time to go over to the church. Oh, yeah, we're going to go over and do our pray thing." I mean, it didn't even become really serious anymore. They come over there and they spent their 45 minutes of chatting. Got their 15 minutes of prayer and went home. Why would God even bless something like that? It don't take much to get God's attention. It really don't take much. You don't have to go out and put some humongous big thing up so God can look down and see it. Just look to the left or the right. He's sitting right here with us. I believe that with all my heart. I don't think God is somebody that we had to just invite to come tonight. I believe he was in here walking through here saying, "Oh, we're going to touch some people tonight. Things are going to change tonight. I'm looking for hearts tonight that are desperate." Craig shared last night about the woman with the issue of blood. And I have to, where's my little fellow that I asked to help me? Is he in here? No, he's not in here. I was going to use him to help me do something. He was going to play Jesus real quick. I'm just going to show what that desperation meant. So I'm going to use Paul. You're going to be a crowd. Okay. Okay. You come up here too, brother. You're going to play Jesus. All right. Now you stay between us. You know, how desperate are you for Jesus? "Oh, Lord, would you please help us?" But if you don't want to, I mean, I tried to sell stuff before, and I knock on the door and say, "I got some stuff you probably ain't interested in, but would you like to try to buy it?" I didn't sell much. But this lady with this issue of blood, she was desperate. She was done for. She was dying. And I felt like that. When I went to this church, I felt like, I'm going to die if God don't do something. I can't continue like this. We got. I'm going to quit and go do something else. I'm going to quit being a preacher. I'm going to quit being anything else because I'm tired of the same old, same old. Anybody tired of the same old, same old? Amen. I'm ready for something to happen, God, even if it's radical. Change me, change them, do something. But I don't want to stay like this. And so I got desperate. And this lady gave me this tape. Hang on, we'll sit down a minute. This lady gave me this tape, and you know what I did? The first thing that pastors, don't confess nothing in front of your people, but I know what happens. You get things like that, and you're, thank you. It's like I need one more thing to listen to. Thank you very much, devil. You know? So I threw it over here in the corner. Stayed there for 3 or 4 months or somewhere. And every once in a while, she'd come up to me and say, Pastor Dan, have you listened to that tape yet? No. I'm going to. I promise I'm going to. Oh, I've been so busy. I've just been so busy. She kept doing this, and I lost it. Not lost it like mad. I lost the tape. I was straightening up my office one day, and we're not going to get into that. I straightened up my office one day, and I found this tape. I thought, you know, this woman keeps asking me and asking me. So I took that tape, and I stuck it in the machine, and I thought, well, I'm going to be in here working anyway, so I might as well listen. I said, great, another one of those guys. I did. I didn't know I was about to fall in love. I started listening to this thing, and I was up walking around and everything like that, and then next thing you know, I sat down in my chair. Next thing you know, I've heard this testimony. Next thing you know, he's at the part where we're going to pray. And I go over and I gather up this tape player, and I pull it up to my chest. And I got tears running down my eyes. I told God, I said, oh, God, you have to forgive me. I cry a lot. I sweat and I cry. That's my thing. I said, oh, God, I want this so bad. Oh, God, I'm going to send, I'm going to try to call. How do I get a hold of this guy? I went in, it had been 6 or 8 months. I'd had this tape. I went in and saw that lady. She goes, oh, my God, oh, thank you so much for that. Freaked her out. And then you read the emails. So we got desperate. Here's the way it was. Here's the crowd. There's Jesus. This is what we done. Crowd, you're trying to keep me away. And I reached out, and I touched him. Sit down. Good Lord. Thank you. I said, I'm a little nervous. Can you tell? I wore white socks. That's desperation. It don't matter what people saying. It doesn't matter. You know, I wouldn't offend anybody on purpose. And if I do, I apologize ahead of time. But folks, your set patterns, your ideas, your attitudes, need to be chucked. Because when God's eyes come to the house, things change. I was telling somebody what we experienced, the Holy Spirit and Jesus, aren't they awesome? Aren't they awesome, the experience that you have when the Holy Spirit starts stirring with the people and in you? And Jesus is walking around there just touching people all over the place. What we experienced, it was like this. And this may, I pray the Holy Spirit will help us get it in here so it'll get in here. It was like God, Jesus and the Holy Spirit were up there and they're just touching people and things are going just, oh. We thought, this is it. It can't get any better. But guess what? It was like God walked in, and he walked up to the front, and he said, hi, son. Oh, hello, Holy Spirit. He said, there's two empty chairs here. Go sit down. Dad's here, and I'm going to show you what it's like. And we had presence. I'm not talking about just anointing. I'm talking about presence. Anointing is wonderful, but presence, when you can see, feel, and touch. Presence. And then the race was on. Nothing was left out. Nothing was left to our imaginations on what God could do. All because some lady sent me a tape that wasn't even supposed to have been sent from the place that she got it from. But it came. I got it. We got to praying. I let some key people in the church listen to it. And we all went to our knees and said, "Oh God, let it be us. Let it be us." We got to thinking. God has taken this tape and sent a word to us. And that word was that you have got a destiny, church. I didn't make a church for you. You think I just created this spot for you to come and sit and laugh and carry on and then go home and, you know, get your 2 points in a prayer? I'm telling you, those days should be over. We should be at the point where we hear when someone says Jesus, as everyone goes, "Hallelujah." I'm telling you, if you go where anywhere tonight, on a lot of places around even London, you're going to hear people shouting and hollering, but they ain't going to be saying Jesus. And you know, I know you probably heard your pastors preach, "Well, you go to a game and a sports game and you yell and you shout and everything like that." You know, but we're supposed to have decorum in the church. Hey, I'm only going to get to preach once, so you know, you can only throw me out one time. Craig, you have to beat on. And the preacher's in trouble. You know, it's got to, that's what changed where Allendale was concerned. And we decided that the discipline was not as wonderful as the word was. You know, the day that I stood on the platform and I said, you're standing on the discipline more than you are on the word of God, is when things started turning around. People said, "What can we do? What can we do?" I said, "Well, one thing, sir, we got to pray. We got to pray. We got to fast. We got to, I'm going to contact this guy and see what happens." And he sends me a letter back telling me, "I can be there in 6 weeks. Can you be ready?" You know, we're highly religious people. It takes longer to do that than 6 weeks. Come on. You know, we got to have a plan. We got to do something. But we got busy. We went out and we took 4x8, 4 foot. I don't know how to convert that, but big sheets of plywood. And we painted big signs on them, which I think kind of embarrassed him when he came, because that his big sign says, "Craig Marsh, healing service, come, you know. Raise the dead, heal the sick," all that stuff, you know. That first Sunday morning, people showed up. And we went out and, in our country, we call them porta potties, or outside toilets. I had a vision. Do you have a vision for your church? How big is your vision? The vision for the church that I had was that God would pack it out and people would change. And I wasn't worried about numbers for an organization. I was wanting to know about numbers for the kingdom. That's what we was after. And so I said, "You know what? We got 2 bathrooms, and even on a normal Sunday, we stand in line trying to get to them." I said, "Let's put some of these green things outside the back door." Which turned out to be work, but it's like you come to church and you go, "There's porta potties sitting at the door when you go out." We didn't have an usher to set you down. We had a porta potty waiting on you. So we got that, and we put our signs up. We got this trolley thing to haul people back and forth. We ripped out the pews so that we had room, and we thought, "Okay, we're ready for anything." We had no idea what was about to happen to us. We lost our minds, and we were so happy. The sad thing is, someone came along and found one of them. They put it back in their head, and that started problems. Praise God. Pastors, when they lose their minds, gather them up and burn them. Praise God. Praise God. And we, Sunday morning, I thought, "Well, I just want Brother Craig to come and share Sunday morning just with my church. I want him to, you know, come and kind of get the feel thing. I'm still doing the denominational thinking stuff, you know. And just, you know, we don't want to turn him loose on everybody else yet, because we may have to tell him we don't want him." You know. So he preaches and hallelujah. We had this one guy. I mean, if you're this guy in here, I don't mean to offend you, but I'm trying to give you a little idea what's going to happen to you. we had this guy that was, he was all stoved up. He had his back fused in three places. He didn't have a kneecap. Bud didn't have a kneecap, but he had a big brace. And he's all stooped over like this, and when he'd walk, he just hurt so bad. And he had a pillow, and he'd sit down on the pillow, and after about an hour is all he could take, and he'd get up, and he was constantly like, say something, I'll rip your head off. That's the kind of guy he was, you know. Everybody's scared of him. I was scared of him. I'm big. But I didn't know it, but this guy's like 6'11". But he was only about 6. He'd walk like this, and his wife begged him and begged him. And he said, all right, I'll come, but I'm going to give him 1 hour. And if something doesn't happen in 1 hour, I'm out of here. And we were all like, okay, bud, whatever you say. Even in the shape he was in, we were still afraid of him. So he came, he's sitting there, and it's right about the altar call. And Bud decides he's had his hour. I don't feel any better. So he got up, turns and starts to leave, and it's just like somebody put his hand on his shoulder and turned him around, and Bud come around like this. Because he thought somebody was going to make him stay. Well, there was. And he felt himself kind of being gently nudged to the front, and he come to the front, and he sits down, and he got around to praying for him, and old Bud got totally healed. He stood up. You heard the popping and the cracking, and you ought to see the video. Man, it's funny. Old Craig's praying for him. And you know, if you ever had this brother pray for you, you know how he kind of gets lost in his prayer and everything. And on the way up, he was still lost in his prayer, and he was behind Bud, and he was dangling from Bud's neck. You know? He finally realized something was up, and he let go of him, and Bud stood up, and everybody's going, we've never seen Bud this tall before. We didn't realize he was that tall. And when it was over with, you could grab a hold of him right here. He had a kneecap that he didn't have before. He went to the doctor. The doctor checked him out. He had three spots on his back that had been fused together because he'd been picked up in a tornado and thrown 100 yards. And all those was cured, healed. He didn't have any of those anymore. He had lupus, and he was cured of lupus. He normally would walk about 30 to 60 feet and be in great pain. Well, that night he walked a mile to church. And his wife comes in the back door going, that man's got to pray for me. And said, this guy's about to kill me. She couldn't hardly make it. But Bud was totally healed from the top of his head through the soles of his feet. And I'll tell you what, the race was on. You know, we had talked and said, well, we wonder what the first night's going to be like. And from the first night on, we got to church and the place was packed. About 4 or 5 nights later, there was two guys sitting way in the back, and they stopped to talk to me afterwards, and I said, well, where are y'all from? Because, you know, they was kind of dressed like gangsters. You know, really hoodlums, you know. I was kind of worried about what they was there for. And they said, well, we're from Canada. I said, well, that explains it. And I said, Canada? I said, just folks just passing through? And he says, no, we heard about it on the internet. I go, the internet? It's only like the 4th or 5th night. Oh, yeah, it's all over the internet. What are you talking about? It's all over the internet. Yeah, it's all over the internet. And from that moment on, we'd have 300 people every night in a church that seats 140. We'd put them in the overflow. We'd put a cable across the road, and we'd put them over there, and people sit over in the Christian church and listen to a service in the Methodist church. And I'm going to tell you, in my country, that's unheard of. In the neck of the woods I live in, you can't get the churches hardly to do what you're doing. You can't get them to sit down together and let's do something together because, well, if we do, then we got to divide up who gets who when it's all over with. I think the thing that turned God on to us was the fact that we didn't care. We didn't care where they went back to church to, as long as they went back to church healed, saved, full of the Holy Spirit. And that's what they did. A lot of that stuff happened from that moment on. Sunday morning in my little church, there's going to be a man preaching that got his ears healed. He was healed from deafness during the outpouring. And it's the first time ever he's preached. And I asked him, I said, would you stand in the pulpit for me while I'm gone? So he's scared to death. But I think he got a call on his life. And I know through him, when I get back home, there's going to be a release already happened. That even for this church here, that God's going to start a fire for. And it's all because you and I have a destiny. You have a destiny. Don't be afraid to let your destiny be fulfilled. And don't say, well, I can't do that, because my wife will tell you that that's what I say all the time. I can't do that. I can't do that. And you know that God, he puts things in this book that somebody comes along and throws in your face. You know, I can't do that. And I hear her say, but you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. I'm weak. But it says in your weakness, you're going to be made strong. Okay, what else can I say? How about, I don't want to do this. You know, I know what's going to happen. You know, God's going to come. He's going to save a bunch of people and everything. He's going to leave me with a pile of problems. That's what he's going to do. He never did that. He came, he saved people, 450 people got saved, they found Jesus Christ. Things happen because we have a destiny. You have a destiny. You're a word. Isn't that neat? You ever thought about that? That God spoke your name. Isn't that something? That's not just not like my dad saying, Dan. That's scary. But God said, God called me Danny. He says, Danny. Whoa. And I just got to thinking about it, thinking, whoa, he called me Danny. Didn't know my heavenly Father speaks my name. Tonight he speaks your name. Tonight he says, I'm looking down at this group of people that's met here, and I'm checking out hearts. And I'm wanting to see what kind of word they have. Do you have a word that says, I don't understand all that's happening. I don't know if I even do what God's laid before me, but I'm willing. I'm ready to stand up. I'm ready to say, God, here I am. Use me however you can use me. Change me. Fix me. Whatever you got to do. God, I want your presence in this place. I don't want just to have a nice meeting. Right now we're just having meetings over at the church I'm at right now. It's driving me crazy. And they're okay. But I want presence back again. I want to be able to walk in, and well, you want a lot, don't you? Yes, I do. My God says for me to dream big, and you need to have a big, big thinking. You need to think big. You need to believe that God can do big things. You need to believe that God's able to do abundantly beyond all that we think or believe. Do you just think and believe little? Do you think and believe what's wrote down on a piece of paper that some organization says that's all you can do? Or do you think and believe what God says? He says from first to the last, I believe every bit of it. I'm a literalist. I believe what this thing says. Only because my lack of education has been a blessing. Because I simply believe what he says. If he says that I can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover, then I believe it, and they have. If he says that I can lay hands on the dead and they'll raise again, I believe it, and they did. Someday, when I come back in 5 years, I'll tell you that story. What happens afterwards when it seems to be done? It still continues. We get reports back from people that's come and went away, and go back to Washington or go back to Florida or wherever they come from, and telling us things are still happening with us. Our lives are not the same. And my wife can show you, got that picture with you? We have a picture of a little baby. We call him our miracle baby. My neighbor, he thinks his wife's cheating on him. He comes over to talk to me. He's all broken up. His heart's about to burst. And he says, I think my wife's cheating on me. And I got to ask him questions. He says, well, he said, we've not been able to have a child. We've tried for 7 years to have a child, and we can't have a child. The doctors told us it's absolutely impossible. And my wife's discouraged and all this stuff. Well, praise God. First thing is, she wasn't cheating on him. You know, he just thought that because they weren't communicating anymore. And they got that taken care of. And I prayed with him, and he came to Jesus Christ. And I said, well, you know, I said, why don't we just try God out? So I prayed with him. I said, Lord, Jim and his wife would like to have a baby. And that was it. I said, amen. But what we didn't know is God said, okay. And I got out of the car one night, and I'd been somewhere, and it was late, and I got out of the car, and you didn't know anybody was close. And all of a sudden, his hand puts on my shoulder, and I'm going home. Praise God. And he goes, well, I guess I owe you a hug. And I whipped around, and there was Jim, you know. Hi, I got neighbors here, and I got neighbors here, and two guys in the dark out in the back of the house hugging. That's kind of strange looking, you know. So at least it is in our country. So I give him a hug. I go, oh, it's okay. Okay. All right. Good job. What are you hugging me for? He says, well, my wife and I are 6 weeks pregnant. And that's him. His name is Dalton. Beautiful young man. Does it continue on? Sure does. We have a lady going to our church right now that she come and visited the outpouring some and everything, and not everybody has the power. I got a little bit. Well, no, I got a lot. His name is Jesus. And they called us to come to this house and said, would you come and pray for my aunt? She just got a phone call saying that every organ in her body was full of cancer. I go, oh, okay. It's like Craig, you know, the first time you pray for somebody, you wanted a headache and you got what you got, you know. So they took me down there, and Don and I went, and there she was. Name's Jean. She's a sweet lady. And so we, can I use you again? Yeah, fine. So we go up there, and okay, now we're all going to pray. Say, God, oh Lord, I'm trying to imitate my. I'm going, hear the word of the Lord. And these people are not like, what? You know, you ain't Craig. And I said, okay. I said, and we prayed. Thank you, Paul. We prayed for her, just a simple prayer, and we left. See, that's one thing we learned in our outpouring. You don't have to beat the drum too hard sometimes. You just need to pray and get it done. Get the job over with sometimes. And listen to the Holy Spirit and let Him show you how to what to pray for, what to say. Let Him do that for you. We prayed for Jean, and then we did one of the things that, at least in our country, is pretty popular. We ate. We had a snack anyway. Three or four sandwiches. And we went home. She got a call the next day. She had to go in for tests. So she went in for these tests and everything, and they sent her home. Then they called her up and says, you need to come back. We need to see you right away. So she got back in her car, and she drove back over to the doctor's office. She went in ready for the worst, but she already knew she was just full of cancer. She sat down and ready to get whatever he had to give her. So he did. He gave her the news. He said, something ain't right. And she's like, I know that. I got cancer. I got all this stuff all inside me, eating me up. He said, no. He said, you ain't got cancer. We can't find a bit of cancer. All your organs are in great shape. There's nothing wrong with you. I don't believe that she would have gotten that if we hadn't had a good word. I don't believe she would have gotten that if we hadn't had this outpouring to come. I don't believe that she would have gotten that if I'd have just tossed Brother Craig's message over in the corner and left it there. I don't believe anything, any of that would happen if we hadn't been desperate. I don't believe any of that would happen if we had said, I don't care what it looks like. I know what it can be. You know, see yourself well. Prepare your own thinking. Open up your heart. And if you've got doubt, don't worry about the doubt. Don't worry about that. But make yourself available. Make yourself available to be able to stand before God and let Him touch you. And I'll tell you something that's the most important in the whole process. You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You know what? You can look in that book right there and you can read stories where God healed people. Yes, I know. It says in James chapter 5, I believe it is, says that call the elders of the church together, anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will make them whole. And then if any sin has been committed, that's my paraphrase, but if any sin has been committed, you'll be forgiven. Bible says they healed them people. It's hard to talk to someone about their soul sometimes when they're hurting so bad. But the important thing is you need Jesus Christ. You need to get a relationship with Jesus Christ. You need to be able to say, Lord, I am lost and I need you. I want you to be able to do that tonight. I want you to not play games with God. And pretty soon I'm going to invite my brother up here. And he's going to share just a little bit for the closing. And he's going to share for the altar call. And when he comes, I want you to open up your ears and hearts. Now, My email was true. I don't preach with eloquent words. I don't have a hard time saying the word eloquent. I don't preach with none of that. I come with one thing to come to this country. Personally, we have a thing in our country of two people. It's called Ma and Paul Kettle. I don't know if you ever met Ma and Paul Kettle, but everywhere Ma and Paul Kettle goes, it's, whoa. That's what we're doing. We're walking around and going, whoa, whoa. Why am I sitting on the wrong side of the car? You know, what's going on here? Cars aren't built for people like me here. I get in the car and the guy over here goes, you know what? So I have to sit real close and it's not comfortable. You know, you open up your heart. Open up your heart and receive Christ. Let go of all the stuff. You want an outpouring here? Some of you do. You want an outpouring here? Then you got it. That's what it takes. Wanting it. Get desperate. As my brother's coming up, listen to this. I've been diagnosed with diabetes. Anybody here got diabetes? You know how it's like, don't you? Your numbers get too high, sometimes you get thirsty and everything like that. Well, I'll tell you something, my flesh has problems. I mean, you just look at it and tell it does. But I don't worry about my flesh. My spirit person is fine. My spirit person doesn't have any sickness, doesn't have any disease of any kind. It's full of Jesus. Now, I know that sounds like a bragging thing, but I brag about my Lord. I do something in America that I learned from the outpouring that got me on fire to do this, and that I don't know how it would work here. I haven't tried. I've been afraid to be honest with you. We'll go down someplace set to eat, brother, and our waitress will come and we'll take, get ready to do an order, and I'll say, you know, we're getting ready to pray for our food, and we want to pray for you. Is there something that I could pray for you about? We'll do that. That's what we do that in America. And if they've got plates, they drop them in the floor, because no one ever asks that. We've had people, we have had waitresses start to cry and weep. Saying, I got a grandpa just dying, and I don't think he knows Jesus. And we'd hold hands and we'd pray for a lost grandpa. We've done that a lot. We've yet to find anyone that say no. You know, the greatest fear, a fear that will shut you down, is being afraid to step out and do. You got to step out and do. You got to try. And if somebody looks at you and says, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. You go, praise God, thank you. And you just go on, because that's a good sign that it's working. That's a good sign that you're breaking some ice. I want you to have what we had. I want you to be free to be able to say, man, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning and I feel great. Because you're watching people come to Jesus Christ. You're watching people be healed. You're watching things you never dreamed you'd ever see. It can happen here. It will happen here if you want it enough. If you remember that your word spoken from the mouth of God, you have a destiny. You're sent to do something. No matter who you are, I don't care if you can't sing, if you can't tap your toe, if you can't pat your belly and rub your head at the same time, it doesn't make any difference. It don't matter. You have a destiny. You might be the grandma that prayed somebody through. That might be your destiny. Somebody, you're here tonight because somebody's prayed for you. You may not think so, but they have. You have a destiny. You've got to achieve it. You've got to start saying it. It's in the book. It's written down. There's nothing else I can do. I have to achieve my destiny because God said it. Therefore, I believe it. And then it'll happen. Brother Craig, you want to come? I want you to get your hearts ready. I want to know, as I hand this over to Brother Craig, when I get to heaven, will I see you? Will I see your face? When I get there, will some of you say, hello? Well, I hear somebody say, Brother Dan, it's me. Well, I see you there. Will you be around the throne? That's where you'll find me. You'll find me around the throne praising God and singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. Thanking him that he's got scars down around the feet of Jesus, down around the feet of God, holding on for dear life, saying, please, please, I don't want to let go. And God telling, patting you on the head, saying, it's okay, Paul. You're going to be here a while. You're going to be here a while. Stand to your feet.
Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, suppose one of you has a friend. He goes to him at midnight and says, friend, give me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, says Jesus, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, another translation says, because of the man's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, says Jesus, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, would give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to him who asks him? Tonight he wants to give you more. And you choose just how much you will receive, how much he can do in you and through you and with you. But if you will step out, if you will reach out, if you will knock, if you will ask, if you are seeking, then there is more. It is a promise. It's in writing. You cannot get anything more concrete than that. He says, ask and you shall receive. That if we being evil, you know, because we can sin, and we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more would the Heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to them who ask? If you want more of the Holy Spirit, in a moment we're going to encourage you to get off the bank and get in the river of His presence. I made a statement last night. You're going to hear it a lot. And it's this, the longer you soak, the wetter you get. It's about soaking in His presence. If you want more of the Holy Spirit in a moment, get up here quick. If you need healing, come up and stand in His presence. Lift your heart and your voice to heaven and ask Him. If you need breakthrough in relationships, if you need change in family situations, tonight, I think God wants to begin to do something. You're just going to have to step out and reach out. There is more. And if you can get the revelation that He wants to open up the heavens, He wants to do even more than you want Him to release His Spirit, to bring healing, to bring peace, to lift depression, to bring healing to your bodies, restore relationships, you're just going to have to step out. It doesn't happen hiding back there. There is something about stepping out, reaching out, crying out, asking. There's just something about that. Jesus said, if you will draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. The minute you begin to step out, the minute you begin to reach out, the minute you begin to cry out, I think, shoo, He's right there. What they did in Allendale, what they did in Augusta, Georgia with Pastor Ron was just simply a people that took God at His word, took Jesus at His word, and began to cry out for more. We're prepared to rise up and to step out night after night, and every night they came, He met with them. I'm going to pray. I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit to release His presence in this place, that the river of His presence would flow. I'm going to ask Him to speak to your hearts. And if you want more, if you need healing, if you want to know the manifest presence of the lover of your soul, then you just need to get out of the river, off the bank and in the river. Hear this. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. And in the natural, if you're thirsty and dry and you drank of a river, you'd be replenished. If you were a pot plant that was just wilting and you were put on the bank just to soak, you would be rejuvenated. If you were dusty and dirty from a day of journey and lay in the river, you would be washed clean. If you were a seed and you were just planted on the bank's edge where the water, where it's damp, you would germinate. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. You're thirsty and dry, come drink of the river. If you just feel dusty and dirty and just the cares of the world, come stand in the river and be cleansed. If you need new life to germinate, come stand in the river of His presence. How hungry are you? How ready are you? How thirsty are you? Come. Holy Spirit, release your presence in this place. We ask for more. Holy Spirit, let the river of your presence begin to flow in this place. I tell you, if you will come and stand in His presence, He will touch you and heal you. Something will begin to change. You just got to get in the river of His presence. You know what these meetings are about? About having an encounter with the lover of your soul. He said, seek and you will find. Knock. The door will be opened. Ask and you shall receive. Take Jesus at His word. Stand before God in heaven in this place and just simply ask for more. Come. We're going to move amongst you and just begin to lay hands upon you. Just us, the pastors, just the pastors, and Jenny and I, we're going to move amongst you. We're going to lay hands upon you. And if you are hungry for more, expect God to begin to do something. He wants to touch you even more than you want Him to. He made humanity so that you could be the object of His love. He wants to heal. He wants to lift depression. That if you'll stand on this place, in this river, and agree together, we'll ask God to turn that family member, to restore relationship, to save that loved one. You've just got to stand in His presence and ask more. Heavenly Father, speak that word tonight. Speak that word from heaven. Lord, you heard the heart cry of a Canaanite woman and you spoke that word and healing happened for her daughter. She wasn't even asking for herself. Lord, you heard the heart cry of a centurion, not for himself, but for his favorite servant. And you spoke that word and right at that moment, although in another place, that servant was healed. Do it again, oh God. Speak that word from heaven. Hear the heart cry of these ones, Lord, for more. For we have come to this place at this time to have an encounter with you. Let the river of your presence flow, refresh, heal, cleanse. Hear our heart cry, oh God, we ask. Speak that word from heaven. And right now, loved ones who are sick will begin to know a change. Lord, speak that word from heaven as we lift before the throne of heaven just loved ones, children, parents, grandparents, husbands and wives, Lord, we lift their names before you, that you would speak that word from heaven, and right now, wherever they may be in this nation or overseas, that you'd speak that word and healing would begin to flow. That you begin to turn hardened hearts. That you begin to draw people unto yourself. For we ask for the soul and salvation of loved ones, of family ones. Speak that word from heaven, O Lord, that healing would flow right now. O Lord, that you would be glorified, that we would never be the same. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Sweep over this place. Sweep over this place. Sweep over this place. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Yes, Lord. Oh, come, swim in the river. And the pastors to just begin to move amongst the folk. The leaders just begin to move. For tonight, for many of you, he's going to speak that word from heaven. You don't need to tell us the details tonight. I just think you need to come in his presence. I'm going to pray for your eye. Come into the middle of the river. Begin to ask him for more. Begin to reach out. Begin to cry out. Begin to lift your heart ones before heaven. If you've got a loved one, a family member that needs God to do something, ask. Yes, Lord. Speak that word from heaven, oh God. If you need more of the Holy Spirit tonight, he's going to fill you afresh in a new way. If you want to know the manifest presence, then get into the middle of the river. For he will not turn you away. It's his heartbeat to ravish your heart. Get ready. Yes, Lord. If you have depression right now, put your hand on your head. If you suffer from depression, a heaviness, a darkness, times when you feel lonely, times when you feel heavy, times when you just feel like a piece of dirt, you know what I'm talking about, that depression. If you have that, put your hand on your head. I'm going to speak the word. Don't be embarrassed about it. There's so many people that suffer from this. Get ready. Put your hand on your head. The Holy Spirit's just told me, speak the word. Depression! Hear the word of the Lord. Release your hold off these ones' minds this night in Jesus' name. That darkness, that heaviness, that weightiness, your right to afflict these ones tonight is revoked. Release them right now in Jesus' name. Hear the word of the Lord declared unto you, shalom, peace, shalom, peace. A lifting of that depression, that heaviness, that weightiness, that anxiety, that anxiousness, releasing right now in Jesus' name. I command all chemicals to come into order, that which is physiological, depression, hormones, thyroid, come into order this night in Jesus' name. I come out of cleansing right now of just the lymphatic system, adrenal systems, a cleansing of the blood of toxins and poisons. Any chemical cause, physiological cause of this depression, released in Jesus' name. Lord, speak that word from heaven right now. Hormones begin to come into order. Thyroid balance levels come into order. Serotonin levels of the brain would begin to come into order. Receive it now. In Jesus' name, depression, hold is broken. Shalom, peace. Shalom, peace. Are releasing right now the pressure. Oh Lord. If you have arthritis, if you have an issue, be it osteoporosis, would it be some sort of arthritis, something that affects your joints, neck, backs, shoulders, hips, knees, right now, if you have an issue to do with your joints, and it's kind of arthritic and core and type, right now, put the hand on your body. Representative, if it's your neck, your shoulder, if it's multiple areas, just put your hand on one of them. Arthritis, that which brings restriction to joints. Hear the word of the Lord. Release your hold right now in the name of Jesus. I speak release of joints right now. I command in the name of the Lord Jesus a releasing of calcium buildup in the joints right now in the name of Jesus. A releasing. I speak regeneration of cartilage and joints and backs and necks and shoulders and knees. A regeneration of cartilage in Jesus' name. A releasing of pinched nerves. A releasing of spasm muscles. A releasing into the joints right now in the name of Jesus. A regeneration of cartilage. Oh, be released in Jesus' name. Joints, necks, backs, hips, shoulders, hands in Jesus' name. A releasing right now in the name of Jesus. If there's an issue in your body right now to do with internal organs, diabetes sufferers, put your hand on your tummy region. We're going to speak a word under the pancreas. If you have kidneys or liver problem, organs, polycystic ovaries, internal issues. Put your hand on your stomach or your heart or your liver or your kidneys. Right now, are you ready? Diabetes, release your hold in Jesus' name. Pancreas, come into order in the name of Jesus. A balance of blood sugar and insulin in Jesus' name. Liver, kidneys, come into order in Jesus' name. Heart, come into order. Blood pressure, come down in Jesus' name. Cholesterol levels, melt away in the name of Jesus. Every chamber, every valve, every muscle of the heart, be healed for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Father, release the power of God now into internal organs, into wombs, into ovaries. And the innermost womanly parts, healing for the women right now. Release. Oh Lord, release your healing now. Strengthening. If you need healing for your eyes or your ears, you need to put your hands on your eye or your ears. Father, we ask tonight that the power of God would be released. Speak that word from heaven. Eyes, hear the word of the Lord. We speak increase of clarity and strength of vision in the name of Jesus. We command every obstruction to begin to melt away in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, would you begin to move now and touch eyes, bringing into alignment every aspect of the eyes, the retina, the pupil, the iris, the cornea, right now. Bringing things into correct shape of the eyes. Strengthening the optic nerves. Ears, open up in Jesus' name. We speak to the audio nerves and the inner ear. Nerves be restored right now in the name of Jesus. where you speak, increase sensitivity to pitch and volume. Ears be healed. Little bones in the inner ear. Then begin to come into order. Function correctly. Eyes be healed. Ears open up in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we ask now, begin to bring healing to eyes, to ears. Holy Spirit, begin to move across them. You have a loved one, a family member, a friend, somebody that needs God to intervene in their lives. Now's a good time. Begin to mention their name before heaven. I'm going to bring my youngest son, Aaron, before God. Lord, I bring Aaron before you right now in New Zealand. Oh, Lord. We bring these loved ones, these family members, these colleagues, these friends, these different ones. We bring them before your throne. Speak their name. For Lord, we ask, speak a word from heaven. We ask for the soul and salvation of these ones. We ask that you'd speak a word from heaven for healing right now, Lord. In different nations. People that we bring before you. People in this nation. But people overseas as well. Speak that word from heaven right now that healing begin to flow. Cancer, every cancer cell would wither and die in Jesus' name. Lord, speak that word from heaven. Let healing begin to flow. Salvation begin to flow. We ask for intervention, that you would intervene in the lives of these ones that we bring before you right now. Yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask now you begin to ravish hearts. You want more of the Holy Spirit? If you want more of God, then it's time to take Jesus at His word. Because at the moment, you're going to simply ask for more. And this is a scary thing. I don't know of anything more absolute, more definite that you're going to get. Because either Jesus lied or He was exactly telling the truth. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to them who ask? You want more? You've got to understand something. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. If you want more of the Spirit of God, now you're going to be careful about this because He's going to just dump on you in a moment. Get ready. All you're going to need to do in a moment is to raise your hand or hands before heaven and say that one powerful word. More. Just ask for more. More, Lord. More. Are you ready? You want more? Then get ready to receive. Lord Jesus, we take you at your word. And so we ask, Heavenly Father, Jesus said that if we, being evil, can give good gifts to our children, how much more would you, Heavenly Father, give the gift of the Holy Spirit to them who ask? We ask for more. More. More, Lord. More. Now begin to ask, folk. Just begin to ask. More. More. Stand in the river of His presence and ask for more. More. You need more healing? Then ask for it. We're going to move amongst you. Tonight's about the word being declared and you receiving it.